I think, what did I count? Well, the 10 that were saved at VBS, and then there was a couple at the beginning. Was that right? A couple souls. That's 12, about 12 souls that are added to our account because we got to be a part. What a blessing that is. I don't know. I don't know if you know this or not, but many times church plants, brand new churches, and also missionaries, they support missions as well. So a church in Mexico, they give and have a missions program there, just like we do here now. And so it's just multiplication, right? So we give $100 a month to the Goodmans, and then they work there, and their folks give to missions to expand there, and they give to missionaries, and those missionaries support missionaries. It just doesn't end, right? It's just a blessing to be a part of it for sure. And so those are some good things to be reminded. Make your way to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Through the week, especially on these emphasis Sundays, Pastor and I usually get to talk a little bit. And I wait to see where he's headed, and then also just wait for him to tell me where to go sometimes, and whatever the case may be. So I will say this, that when it comes to partnering together, Pastor's got a great sermon on that, and I know a little bit about it. And so he wasn't sure whether he's going to preach that in the next coming weeks or not. But either way, he is sad to not be a part of today in general, and then also even specifically as we are in our emphasis. So as we talk about partnering together, many times we do use it in the illustration of us partnering with our missionaries. That's a part of it for sure. And so as we get to partner with the Goodmans, we get to partner with all of our missionaries, and that is a part of partnership. But when we also talk about partnering together, we got to partner together here to be a help out there, if that makes sense. And so when our message today, the direction is going, is that when we talk about partnering together, we're a fellow helper. We're talking about ourselves. We're talking about right here in this room and the people who make up Central Baptist Church, right? We remember this building has nothing to do with it. This is just where the church meets, right? This is just our little gathering place here. But if you're a member, you're the church, right? You're Central Baptist Church. And so anyways, as we talk about partnering together, it is amazing what can take place when we get together on this issue, especially missions, but then also just in general partnering together. And what can be accomplished through our church, it can be amazing. So 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, we've read this scripture many times in the last few weeks, but let's look at it again. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that he through his poverty might be rich. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for all of your many blessings to us. We thank you for the day already. We thank you for the great response, and we thank you for the folks who are here, and we're so thankful for what you've already accomplished in our hearts, and we do pray that you'd help us as we look into your word again. God, I pray that you'd give us strength and clarity of thought. God, I pray that you'd work in our service this afternoon. We do pray again for Pastor. We pray that you'd be with him. Use us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when we look at the churches of Macedonia, we do understand that that is multiple churches that partnered together. So there was a whole group of churches that they were all partnering together in a church-to-church basis, right? We understand that of how deputation works for missionaries and also for church planters. What they'll do is they'll go around, right? And they'll go from church to church and just be there, present the ministry, and then that church would have to seek the Lord to say, Lord, is it our turn? Do we get to be a help to this? And those types of things. And so they go, and it's a partnership with churches to churches. So our church back home, Faith Baptist Church in French, our home church, some of the missionaries other churches support, we support them together, right? So there's different ones, and then we partner together as other independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, biscuit-eating, whatever, all those adjectives of Baptist churches that partner together to support missions. Now, one thing about it is here that these group of churches were coming together to accomplish a great work. There was a need, and they were all partnering together, and that's true. But I would remind you of a chain. A chain is only as strong as its weakest link, right? For sure. And so as we think about these churches partnering together, then we have to break it down to the basis that each of those churches, their members, were partnering together so that their church could partner with another church to support the ministry. Does that make sense? And so when we think of it that way, when we talk about this partnering together and the points that we have today from our passage, I want to be clear that in verse number 1, it is talking about churches of Macedonia. But again, each of those breaks down to an individual church, which then would break down to individual members. Okay? Now, as we start there in verse number 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Now, here's our point as we start today is this. A church partnered together despite the great afflictions. Despite the great afflictions. So here it is. That these individual churches, the members of their church, though they, yes, were going through individual afflictions, though here it talks about the trial of affliction, that they were going through problems, that they were having issues. When we think of the word affliction, it's this, the state of being affected with continued or often repeated pain, either of body or of mind. Here's some other words that would help us, right? Some of this, grief, distress, pain, sickness, loss, adversity, or persecution, right? All of those would be affliction. And so what happens is this, that these churches, each one of these churches, their members partnered together despite afflictions. They had issues. Everything wasn't just hunky-dory. Everything wasn't just perfect. They had their own things going on, right? The Macedonian churches banded together. They partnered together to help others while they were going through things themselves. Here's my point. Our missionaries are going through different things, right? We've heard a couple weeks ago, some of our missionaries are going through times of grief and loss and sorrow, right? They're going through problems. Can I just tell you? We're people. You know what we have at Central Baptist Church sometimes? Problems and griefs and sorrows and issues, right? So when I talk about the fact that these churches partner together despite these great afflictions, it's got to be that no matter what our circumstances are individually, that we still come together collectively. The saints in Macedonia did not partner together because they had no problems, right? I'm getting somewhere with this. They had their own problems and still partnered together to accomplish a goal. What does that mean, Mark? This. I've seen many times when people will say this. I'll get involved when things settle down. Right? You ever heard that? Hey, preacher, we'll be there just as soon as the schedule just calms down. Oh, well, okay. Well, I wrote a few down, right? All right, I was trying to think through it. I'll get involved when life smooths out. I'll give when I got more money. I'll pray when I'm better at praying, right? I'll be faithful to church when I have more time, right? I'll go to grow. I wrote this one down because I want to make it super dramatic, all right? All right, so you follow this. I'll go to grow when I'm all rested, have nothing else, all the house projects are done, and the weather is perfect. Then I'll go. Let me go ahead and tell you. You ain't going. Right? What my point being is this, that they partnered together even when they had their own problems and trials going on. Listen, don't be a fair weather member. Well, I'll be there. I had an older gentleman that I worked with, Brother Don. He was a fun old guy. And he'd always, I'd say, Brother Don, I'll see you Wednesday night. And he would say, if nothing breaks, bends, or comes untwisted, right? Nothing rips, slips, or tears, the creeks don't rise, and the good Lord's willing, I'll be here. Boy, that's a lot, right? That's a lot of opportunities for something to go wrong, right? But what we see here is this, that yes, the churches in general, but remember, individually, the members of those churches, how did they give? How did they go? How did they do those things? Well, because everything was just perfect for them. No, it wasn't. It wasn't. And many times what we'll do is we'll use excuses as to why we're not getting involved because we have things going on. And the truth is, we all got things going on. We do. Can I be real, kind of little blunt with you? Did you know that on Wednesday night, our pastor's tired too? Right? Right? I mean, whoever it is, right? Man, I'm tired. I'm with you. We're tired. Right? But we all got things going on. And the difference of us partnering together is not that we're waiting for everything to come together. For everything to be right, then we'll get together. Then we'll be kind to our fellow church members. Then we'll be faithful. Then we'll give. Then we'll... No. If we're going to partner together, we'll still have problems at home and problems in our life that we're working through, but yet we're still partnered. Does that make sense? Again, many times, I've heard people say it, and I've heard preachers preach about it. You know, well, preacher, when we get our finances together, we'll start tithing, we'll start giving to missions. And until you honor the Lord, as we would say in Texas, it ain't never getting together. And so what the point is that these churches, the individual members that made up of these individual churches, they began to serve the Lord even though everything wasn't. Just made a commitment. Lord, hey, I'm going to partner together with my fellow church. Because if we look around, again, we all have things. We all have family members. We all have trials. We all have things. And if we let those things stop us from saying, man, I'm going to partner together with my fellow church members, then we're only going to be able to do so much. See, these churches, they were able to do so many things. Well, that's because they didn't have any issues. They had their own problems. And yet, in spite of that, they decided, no, we're going to partner together. Even though we got some things at the house going on, we're going to be a partner. Okay? But secondly, we see this, that these churches and the individual members that made up these churches was this. A church partnered together in spite of not having much. Right? Verse number two, again, how that in great trial of affliction, their abundance, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. That sounds like an oxymoron, right? So hot I froze to death, right? great poverty and riches. What? How does that work? Right? Is this that they partnered together in spite of not having? It wasn't, well, I don't have a lot, so I'm not going to be a part. Okay? It could come like this. Some might say, you know what our church needs? Is a bunch of wealthy people, and then we can make an impact in our community and around the world. All right? Now, I'm a Baptist preacher, so I'm not going to say rich people can't come to church. Amen? But no, that's not necessarily it. Our church should be a place for all to come and worship the Lord, and a place for us to give and to go and to do those things. But we don't need to get a bunch of rich people just so then that we could give and so we could tag our name along with it. Well, you know, hey, we got a couple millionaires in our church, and man, we're really making an impact for the cause of Christ. That's not it. What song would come to your mind when you think of something like this? Little is much when God is. When we partner together, I'm looking around. And if you are, bless God, you hit it real well. Right? I don't see any billionaires necessarily. All right? Hey, and again, if you are, praise God. Right? You covered it up well. All right? That's a joke, folks. Let's wake up. It's okay. All right? But here's our point. But sometimes what hinders us from partnering together is saying this, and I can only be a part of it. I don't have a lot. I don't have a lot of resources. This goes beyond money. It goes far beyond just money. Okay? I'm busy. I've got a family. I don't have a lot of time. Okay? Things of that nature. But again, let me just remind you that little is much when God is in. Now, the opposite is true. Let me remind you of this. Lot is little if God ain't in it. And so it reminds us that, no, we might not have individually, we might not have a whole bunch where we're just saying, man, I can really carry the weight of this thing. No, it's all about us contributing, as the New Testament says, as God has blessed us. Man, I don't have a lot. But if you're waiting for God to give you a bunch and then be a part of whatever it is, again, time, money, effort, any of those things, then you won't. Then you won't. You won't be involved. And what we find is these churches and the individual members of the churches of Macedonia said, man, I don't have a little, but what I got, I'm giving to the Lord. And when we do that, listen, God will multiply it. Do you remember in the New Testament when Jesus said who gave the most money to that offering that one Sunday? Guys coming in, I got to have a wagon for all my money. Oh, really? Right? I mean, can you imagine? Every once in a while, do you ever read your Bible and just laugh at some of these things? You remember the one guy who's like, oh, brother so-and-so, why don't you lead us in prayer for service today? All right, let me lead. Lord, thank you that I'm not like that guy over there. Right? Are you kidding me? So when it came to this offering, you know, they're coming around and they're like, I could give this in bills, but I'm going to give it in coins. So that way it sounds real good, right? Ka-ching, 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 right? Widow comes up with one mite. What did God say about her? She gave more than anybody. The others gave out of their abundance. The widow gave out of her necessity. What did God bless? The widow's mite. And so again, don't think that I've got to have a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of talents, a lot of skills. Hey, when we partner together, little is much when God is in. God can do a great work. And so what happens is we turn selfish, we turn inward, and then we can't make an impact outward because each individual, well, I can't do that, I can't do that, I can't do that. An eye for an eye makes the whole world blind. Right? So whatever we do have, we just give it to the Lord. When we partner together and do, say, give, whatever it is that God has blessed us with, God can multiply it. We've used this illustration in the last couple weeks with our missions conference of as we hold the rope for our missionaries, right? We're holding the rope. So I, to be honest with you, I pictured it kind of like this, you know, as a deep pit, and our missionaries are out in the regions beyond, and we're holding the rope for them, right? To make sure that they can be there, that type of thing. And that's good. But what the Lord really impressed upon my heart is this, that when you think about what a pulley can do, right? A pulley, right? So instead of us holding the rope here for our missionaries, right? What a pulley, you hang it up, you suspend it, you change the direction that you're applying force. I know, science, right? You're more surprised that Mark knows this, right? But what happens is when you change the direction of the force applied, you multiply the ability. So you add a couple pulleys, right? I think about one of those chain winches, right? Hang it up, and all of a sudden you're picking up a motor, and you're like running this chain, and you're like, I don't know how this is working, but this is awesome, right? And I just remind you that the pulley is God. And instead of us holding the rope here, we're holding the rope here. What God does, ready? It was cool. I was excited about this. He multiplies our ability. Lord, we don't have a lot. I'm going to give it to you. God says, all right, I'll be the pulley. You're little. You know what multiplies a pulley? I like this. This is fun. How many times it's wrapped around? How many pulleys are there? Right? How many attachments? And the more you are, the more you can pick up. The more we're attached to God, the closer we are to Him, the more that we trust Him with, hey, He multiplies it. Multiplies it. Listen, as I mentioned, with our missionaries and what it has accomplished, we give $100 to this missionary a month, and it goes and sure supports the work, and souls are saved there, and then all of a sudden they're supporting missionaries, and now our $100 all of a sudden, by the time we're done, I don't even know, hundreds of thousands, right? And it's because we're trusting the Lord. I don't have a lot. Hey, well, what I do have, I'm going to give to the Lord. And again, if all you get is Mark, he's just a money-grubbing guy trying to talk about, no. Listen, you have families. You have jobs. God has given us responsibilities to take care of our family. We get that. But if we'll give our time and say, Lord, I'll trust you with what time I have, and I'll make sure that you're first, He'll multiply it. That's how we say about tithing, right? That 90% goes farther with God's blessings than 100% without? Well, guess what? Many times with our time, we're just keeping it all to ourselves. Oh, my time. Oh, Lord, would you help me to trust you with my time? Help me to trust you with that, 10, 11, 2, and 7. I used to always say that International Baptist service time was 10, 11, 6, and 7. Right? We broke the mold. 10, 11, 2, and 7. But listen, if we'll trust the Lord with that time, you know what he'll do? He'll make it where those chores can get done at the house. And I just trust Him. Brother Brad and I were talking about that. Had to go home and have to grow and do some chores. We all got that. We got things that got to get done. But if what we'll do first is just trust the Lord first, and He'll multiply it. He'll make your water heater last longer. He'll make the alternator last a little longer. Hey, when we trust the Lord, when we partner together individually, I say, Lord, partner with you. Then, as we're all doing that, see, as the Rice family does that, the Gilbert family does that, all the other families that make up our church, you see how it just multiplies, but we just give our living. Hey, God will bless it. Now, we also see this. We see a church partnered together will be made up of individuals that are surrendered to the Lord. Right? Verse number 5, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. If we're going to accomplish all that God has for us to do, we must on a regular basis be self-evaluating whether we're surrendered to the Lord. You know how we're going to be a church that accomplishes all that God has for us to do? Is if Brother Steve surrenders to the Lord, and Mark surrenders to the Lord, and Jack surrenders to the Lord, and Miss Molly surrenders to the Lord, and all of us. We just individually surrender to the Lord. And hey, God will use it in a mighty way. Mighty way. And He'll just bless it. I wrote this down. Is your all on the altar? You know, sometimes the song of I surrender all should be I surrender some. But our goal is each individual family, each individual, we just surrender to the Lord. How much the Lord has of me will determine how good of a partner I am to others. And if I just give myself to the Lord, you know what I'll be? I'll be a better fellow church member. If I'll surrender to the Lord and say, Lord, you take me and use me, I'll be a better fellow member. I'll be a better partner. Yeah, sure, with my wife, we'll be better off in our marriage. As a father, I'll be better off in my relationship with my son. I'll be a better church member, a better fellow church member with you if I'll just surrender to the Lord. And this is what happened. They surrendered to the Lord individually. I can personally hinder the effectiveness of this church if I'm not fully surrendered to Him. This is something that is a little bit sometimes taken lightly as church membership. It can be taken lightly. But understand that how I live on a daily basis affects the effectiveness of our church. You know, if we're really bad at being partners together here, feuding, fussing, you know, talking, backbiting, whatever it is, if we're doing that, we're not going to be any help out there. We're not going to be a help to our missionaries. Oh, we might give them some money. What about our prayers? What about, man, what a blessing today, right? Did you see all the guests who were here this morning? What a blessing. That's good. I didn't know Pastor was going to be gone. Oh. But what a blessing. They were here. Some opportunities for us to reach. And some folks, maybe a couple of them, I knew a little bit about them and knew that they needed the Lord. Some of them aren't saved. And I don't know the life story of each one. But if we're not partnering together in our church, you know what God can do? He can shut off the guests. I'll be honest with you. At one time at the church in Fritch, there was a time where, no matter who, there was a time that there was a couple families, a man in one family and a lady in another one. They were all church members and they were having an affair. You know how effective our church was at that moment? Not very effective. And we talked about it. We talked about the fact that there was just a bad spirit. We talked about the fact that there was no guest coming. That was secret sin that we didn't even know at that time. But we knew that it just seemed like we were going uphill and couldn't accomplish anything. And I was there. I was a part of it. This isn't secondhand. But when that sin was found out and dealt with, and I wish that the case was that they were repentant and that they got right with the Lord. That wasn't the case. They were outed because of church discipline. That's what needed to take place. But I'm telling you, the weeks following that, some guests started showing up. Singing got a little better. Bad spirit was gone. And we as church members need to understand that how personally surrendered I am to the Lord will affect how much of a help we can be. Sure. That's very true. But how much God can do through us will be determined how surrendered we are to Him. The best partner I can ever be to my fellow church members is to be a surrendered individual. We see that. This church who was poor, who was great poverty, who had afflictions, they had issues, they had things going on, they had persecution going on, they had all that. And what we find is that this church, and they were given above their ability, and God was blessing and using those resources and things of that nature, as they partnered together and they surrendered individually to the Lord. Next, we see this. A partnered together church will be an example of Jesus Christ. Verse number 9. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. So listen, as we partner together in spite of trials, in spite of not having much, in complete surrender to Christ, if we'll do that, we will be an example of Christ. And what our church could be known for then, ready? Man, when I went to that church, I just felt like I encountered the Lord. Why? Because we're just trying to be an example of Christ. Remember what kind of form Jesus took upon himself? The form of a servant. Servant. Right? And so if we'll partner together with these things, despite trials, despite not having a lot, in complete surrender to Christ, we'll be an example of Christ. Listen, what does our world need today? They need an example of Christ. I'll just remind you that sometimes you're the only Bible that any person will ever read. So what are they reading? What are they reading? As we partner together, listen, our church, I wrote this, trying to be a little cute, right? Our church could be known for a lot of things. It could be known for money, for buildings, for programs. We could be known by our past. We could be known by our future. We could be known by failures. We could be known by singing. We could be known by humanitarian help. We could be known for all those things. But the greatest to be known is this. We're an example of Christ. We're an example of Christ. And how that will happen is as we partner together, taking seriously the fact that, hey, in spite of the fact that there are problems, in spite of the fact of not having a lot, I just completely surrender to the Lord. Just be an example of Christ. Christ surrendered his life to be a servant, not only a servant, but to die on the cross. Christ laid aside the realms of heaven to give himself as a sacrifice. Christ did all of that in spite of the trials, the pain, the sorrow. Can't even imagine the very people that you're dying for are the people who are beating you, who are mocking you, who are spitting upon you, who are doing all those things, and yet he did it for their sake. So let's wholeheartedly partner together so that our church can accomplish things out of our realm of possibility. We mentioned this a little bit earlier in main service, was this, that man, when we start functioning in God's power, there's nothing that can't be accomplished. How many of you have family members you're praying for to get saved? How many of you have coworkers? Sure. Friends? Neighbors. Right. Sometimes we can look at it and say, this man, they're a lost cause. We won't say that out loud. We don't want to show our lack of spirituality. In our hearts, in our minds, we can say, wow, I don't know how we could ever reach them. But we just partner together in spite of these things. God will multiply. God will accomplish great things. You know what would be awesome for Central Baptist Church? Is that we grow so much that our building, our land, our facilities can't contain us. I hope that doesn't scare you. It's not meant to scare you. Hey, what a blessing. Wouldn't it be a blessing that every service, these pews are full? That can happen. That needs to happen. 33,000 people live in Gillette. And every single one of them need to first hear the gospel, be reached by the gospel, and have a good church to be a part of. I don't think 33,000 people fit. But as we surrender to the Lord, individually, the truth is we all have trials, we all have sorrow. Of things that we're going through. I don't have a lot. Well, as much. God is. I just surrender myself you surrender yourself. And collectively, we will be a church surrendered to the Lord. Oh, he says, I'll multiply them. My hand of blessing will be upon them. The gates of hell will not prevail against them. And it's possible. It's not some pie in the sky, maybe one day. But it is a real possibility for us to be a church that is growing on fire for the Lord. We're in Gillette. Yeah, I can do it in Gillette. I can do it wherever. He did it in the churches of Macedonia. I've never been there. But at the same time, God did it for them, he'll do it for us. As we partner together to multiply what we have. Lord, we thank you so much. All of your many blessings to us. We thank you for the day. God, I pray that you'd help us to be a good partner. God, help us to be completely surrendered to you. God, it doesn't matter how much we have or how much we don't have. God, it really doesn't matter how much the truth is we're going through. God, help us not to use that as an excuse to not be a part of the work. God, help us to join in. Help us to partner together. That we could be just like these churches that are mentioned in the Scripture. God, we sure don't want to be a church that's mentioned in the Scripture for bad things. God, we sure want to be one of those churches that you use, God, that you're lifted up, that you're glorified through, that you're accomplishing, that you're saving souls through. God, that's the church we want to be. So I pray that you'd help us to partner together, help us to be those individuals that are living for you. In Jesus' name. As we stand to our feet, we'll take just a moment.